hey, we're going to do a session on what happens when you fall. And they asked me to do it because I'm really good at it. They wanted to find out the guy who fell the most, and it was me. So I got the task with doing that. Before we start today, I want to talk about a guy who never fell. You guys heard of Chuck Norris? So he died a couple days ago. And I thought, just because it's fun and it's after lunch and you all are sleepy, I'm going to tell you some top 10 Chuck Norris jokes. First of all, that he died is very dramatic. But anyway, Chuck Norris doesn't read books. He stares at them down until he gets the information he wants. Time waits for no man, unless that man is Chuck Norris. If you spell Chuck Norris in Scrabble, you win forever. Chuck Norris breathes air 5 times a day. The flu gets a Chuck Norris shot every year. That's pretty good. There's a couple here that aren't really very reverent, so I'm going to skip those. Chuck Norris has a mug of nails instead of coffee in the morning. If the dinosaurs looked at Chuck Norris the wrong way once, you know what happened to them. And last, this is the last one. Chuck Norris's tears cure cancer. Too bad he's never cried. Okay, I was singing. First of all, I agree with Jeremy. It's good to hear you guys singing. Just a little bit of an encouragement to you. You're probably going to go to church tomorrow. Sing like that at church tomorrow. Your church needs you to sing like that tomorrow. And one more thing, if you've never sat in front, I know a lot of people like to sit in back. Go sit in the front of your church and sing a song and then listen to people singing. It is a beautiful thing to hear people singing. I hear your kids singing, and that's pretty cool. But to hear their dad singing that loud would be awesome. As I was singing, I'm thinking we could just go through the verses of these songs. Well, I don't need to say anything. I mean, listen, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Greg was going through his stuff, and I just, all the whole time I was thinking, man, this is all very convicting. Thanks a lot, Greg. That was great. Hey, in your booklets, I'm going to spin through the first parts pretty quickly. What page are we on? Who can tell me what page we're on? Thank you. Hey, look, there it is. Because I want to spend most of our time on the last part. Here's what's true, though. If we walk, we will fall because we're not Jesus. He didn't fall, but we're going to fall. And before we talk about it, let me pray. Let's ask him for his attention and his help today. Holy Spirit, here among us and in us. I'm not going to ask you to join us because you're just here, but would you give us after lunch attention today? Would you give us minds to process what you might be wanting us to hear and think through? But more importantly, maybe most importantly, would you give us hearts to really receive it and to do something with it? For your glory, for the good of our families and our friends, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, every man, you guys know this, every man goes through phases of walking. When you're born, you can't walk. And then you learn to walk and you fall down. And when you get to be a toddler, falling down becomes very tragic and there's tears and scraped knees and you have to comfort them. And then you get to be an elementary kid and a high school kid and a young adult and running becomes like a mark of manhood, how fast you can run, whatever. And if you live long enough, you'll probably come to the point where you really can't walk again. You're going to need someone to help you walk. Same thing goes with falling. If you walk, you're going to fall. Little kids fall. My wife would tell you that I'm really good at it. I've fallen twice now playing pickleball, once at Jeremy's house, once at a court with a high school kid. Very embarrassing. It's also true, if you spend time walking with the Lord, you will fall. You were going to fall eventually. And there's only one guy who didn't, and his name was Christ. And although we're following him, it's going to be hard. So I got several questions. I'm just going to roll through these really quick. The question isn't, will you fall? The question is, when you fall, will you get back up? Will you get back up? Our families and our friends and our workplaces need us to get back up and walk and not just lay there. Proverbs 24:16 says, though a righteous person falls 7 times, he will get up. I'll just put a period there. He will get up. Why do we fall? Why is this that we fall? Well, in some theological sense, we fall because Adam fell. And because Adam fell, people fall all the time. But to be more specific, we fall because the world, honestly, is pretty enticing, and our flesh is still pretty weak, and the devil's pretty cunning. So there's a lot of opportunities to fall. And let me be clear here. To say that we fall is to say that we sin. We sin. Sin is common to all people, but men sin in some particular ways, some peculiar ways, some unique ways. When we walk with a family, I'm just going to go back to Greg's talk real quick. When we walk with a family, we will fall. We'll fail to lead as a husband. We're going to fail to do that. We're going to fail to lead as a father, fail to honor our parents as a little son, as an older son. Let me just remind you, husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way and love her the way Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's hard. Fathers, don't exasperate your children, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Sons, obey your father and mother when you are young and honor them until they die. These are hard things. When we walk with other people, we're going to fall. We're not going to be a godly friend. We're not even going to be a godly enemy sometimes. Jesus said, love your friends deeply and take the lead in honoring one another. That's actually in Romans. Take the lead. Try to outdo one another as you honor one another. To bless your enemies consistently, that's pretty hard. When we walk in the workplace as men, we will fall. We're going to fail to be the faithful employees and employers that Scripture says we're supposed to be. As employers, we're supposed to be just and fair with our employees, just as God is just and fair with us. And I've been an employer, and I wasn't always like that. As an employee, you're supposed to work for your employers like you're working for the Lord himself. We've all been employees, I'm pretty sure, and I'll bet we haven't done that quite perfectly as well. So the question isn't, will we fall? The question is, when you fall, will you get back up? And what do you do when you fall? The question isn't, will you fall, but will you realize that you've fallen and admit that you have fallen? Psalm 51:3 says, for I am conscious of my rebellion and my sin is always before me. Will you realize it? And maybe just as importantly, will you admit it? I've made my second trip to the Delaware County Jail last week. Don't worry, everything's fine. I visited a guy who's in there for 14 felonies. What I didn't hear him say was, I didn't do it. He seems to be, at some level, he's recognizing he did a lot of really bad stuff. Be a man about it. Don't use the word mistake. Just don't. It's sin. It's just sin. Jack gave me a phrase that I really like. Jesus didn't die for your mistakes. He died for your sins, including the ones you're going to commit tomorrow when you fall on your face, when I fall on my face. The question isn't, will there be consequences? The question is, will you take what comes? Will you take them when they come? This guy who's in jail is about to have a lot of consequences. What's he going to do with it? Falling has consequences. It offends a holy God. It hurts us. It hurts the people we fall on to. Things get bruised and broken. They get twisted and they bleed. Some consequences God baked into his world. Other consequences he brings to us in the form of discipline. I'm not going to read the passage you're familiar with from Hebrews 12. When God disciplines us, that's one of the ways he shows us he loves us, because we're sons. Are we going to complain about it, try to walk away from it, try to get out of it? Or are we just going to, pardon the phrase, take it like men, take his discipline, learn from it, and receive it as his loving grace to us? The question isn't how long can you conceal it, because that's a pretty good temptation. The question is, to whom can you confess it? This has been on my heart a lot lately. Confessing it includes asking for forgiveness. Very important distinction here. Asking for forgiveness, but without a but on the end of it. I'm sorry I did X, but. Just leave the but off. Say, I'm sorry I did X. Confess it to God. Not because he's unaware, because it's good for your soul, and because we're instructed to do it. Confess it to another man. I will read this passage, James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. When you fall, confess it to God for sure. Find a guy you can confess it to. Just be honest with it. You can tell him anything that you've done, and he will love you all the more for saying it. The question isn't, by the way, will God forgive you? The question is, will you receive his forgiveness? There's no question he will forgive you, but there is a big question for a lot of men, whether they're actually going to receive that and walk in light of his forgiveness. I would suggest giving a confession clears the ground in front of us, and receiving forgiveness breaks up that ground so new seeds can be planted in it and we can get walking again. Psalm 32:5 says, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." And I don't have to tell you what 1 John 1:9 says because you all probably know it. Confess your sin and receive his forgiveness. So all that being said, how do you get walking again? That's kind of the point of this section anyway. So we're all going to fall down. There's lots of reasons. Let's admit it. Let's be men about it. Let's confess it. And what do we do? And I would suggest here again, the question isn't, can you keep walking the same way on the same paths without falling again? The question is, will you find a new way to walk and a new path to walk on? Because apparently the old one doesn't work all that well. People at Grace Point know my wife and I walked across Spain, just a short walk, a year and a half or so ago. And the first day was 16 miles and 4,000 feet of elevation change. And about halfway through the first day, my knee started absolutely screaming at me. It hurt so bad. I learned I have what's called an IT band. I think we all have one. But mine hurt really, really bad. And so we finished that day, got up the next day, did it again, and I had to figure out a new way to walk. If I just walked straight up and down hills, it killed. But I found out if I walked sideways up and down the hills, it actually was much, much better. Now, I'm sure I looked like a strange person. And I wasn't walking very fast, but I was walking. I figured out a way to walk that didn't hurt. The question isn't, how do I just keep doing the same thing I've been doing? The question is, can I figure out a new way to walk, some new path to walk on, maybe some new people to walk on, back to the prior session? On the next page, on page 13 and 14, I'd like you to add some stuff to the top of that margin, if you would. Just a few words. If you could add intentionality, it's a long word. You can Google it if you need to know how to spell it. Add intentionality. Part of the trick here is this stuff doesn't just accidentally happen. You got to decide you're going to do it. If you could write the word prayer somewhere up in that margin, we're all strong, manly men, perhaps, but we probably need to pray and not just try really hard. And then if you could write one more word, which is the Holy, well, it's three words, or you can do two, Holy Spirit. If you're like me, I just way too often leave him out of the whole equation. And he was sent to us to be our helper. But I just want to walk through some of these things, and I will read these passages. By the way, Jeremy, I have no idea how much time I have, so you'll have to give me, tell me when I got 5 minutes left. Okay. This is not in order of importance. It's in order of when I found it and wrote it down. So this, it doesn't matter which one's first. But the first one I think might be the most important, which is to walk in grace. No gathering of humans would be complete without a Dallas Willard quote, so I'll give you one. Grace isn't opposed to effort, it's opposed to earning. You could write that down too. Grace is not opposed to effort. Grace is not opposed to effort, it's opposed to earning. Paul talked a lot about working in God's grace and with a whole lot of effort. The two aren't in competition with each other. Walk in grace. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith already, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through him, through Christ, by faith, into this grace in which we stand and boast. We boast in the hope of the glory of God." We've obtained access through Christ by faith into grace. Other places in the scripture describe grace as like this waterfall just dumping all over us all day, every day, in little dribbles and big, giant bucketfuls, more than we could ever imagine. Christians need grace just as much as non-Christians need grace. Grace isn't just what you need to get saved, it's what you need to walk out your faith. Don't try to do this out of effort. You're not that great, you're not that strong, you can't walk that fast. You're going to need a lot of God's grace, so lean into it, lean into it. The second one is be transformed. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Two things to point out here. Be transformed is a passive activity. It's something that happens to us. To be transformed by the Spirit's work in us. And the renewing of your mind is something that we participate in. You guys all know this. We all have the ways of thinking about the world, thinking about our wives, thinking about our kids, thinking about our employers, our employees, thinking about those neighbors that annoy you, thinking about all these different things that are not synced up with the way Christ thinks about all those people. They're just not the same thing. We have ways of thinking about the Lord that are not the way that the Son thought about the Father. We've got new ways to learn how to think, to have our minds renewed, and that is part of how God will transform us, starting with our minds, moving to our hearts, and then we'll carry it out in our everyday lives. So it's part of this is submitting yourself to the transformational work of the Spirit, to let Him do in you what you could never want to do in yourself, nor be able to do it. The next one is a lot from James. It occurred to me, I think I have a lot from James in here, but that's okay. James is a good doing letter. James 4, 7 through 10. Another therefore. And if we had time, yes, we'd go back and find out what all these therefores are there for, but we don't have time. You got Bibles, you can read them. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. This is interesting, not very encouraging. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. There's a lot in there. Submit to God. Someone give me synonyms for submit.
Yield.
Give up.
Surrender.
Obey. What is it?
Obey.
Obey. To whom?
God.
To God. Submit to Him. He's King. But we're not kings. He's the Father. We're the sons. Submit to God. And who are we supposed to resist? Is He real?
Yes.
Does He hate you?
Yes.
Do His demons hate you?
Yes.
They do. We got to resist them. And there's some instructions on the scriptures on how exactly to go about that, how you can stand firm in your faith. We have to resist Him. We have to, first of all, recognize that He's real. And he's after anything that can undo things, He's after. So we got to resist Him. Draw near to God. We've talked about that already here today. Draw near to God. Figure out a way, figure out a time, figure out a place that you and the Lord can just walk intimately with one another. Not with your wife, not with your kids, not with your friends, not at church. Just in the everyday moments of life. Just you and Him. Just walking with Him. Being near to Him. Being quiet enough to hear His voice. Opening up His word and letting it speak to you through the Spirit. Draw near to Him. Clean your hands and purify your hearts. What kind of things come to mind when you see that? What makes our hands and hearts dirty? Yeah, be more specific. Give me the sorts of things that men sin.
It's jealousy.
Jealousy.
Lust. Anger.
You're really good at this. Anger.
I do all these.
What else? What else?
Greed.
What?
Gluttony.
One more time.
Gluttony.
Yes, that's my
pride.
One of my favorites. Pride.
Sloth.
You guys know the list. Some of those are not unique to men. Some of them are at least uniquely experienced by men. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We're not making mistakes. Our hands get filthy, our hearts get filthy. We need to purify them. We talked about that a little earlier. Confess your sins, receive His forgiveness. But do something different. There's a reason why your hands keep getting dirty. There's reasons why my hands keep getting dirty. Jesus said in a rather grand way, better to cut your hand off. Just get rid of it. Whatever is going on, you need to get rid of it. Cleanse your hands, purify your hearts. How about this? What do you do with be miserable and mourn and weep? Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. What's that instruction about? Because that doesn't sound very happy and laughy.
Don't make little of your sin.
Don't make little of your sin. Instead, do what with it?
Own it.
Own it. Let it make you miserable. What is it?
Let it break you.
Mourn and weep over it. This is not, again, we're not playing games here. Sin is just, oh, it breaks so many things. It hurts so many people. Don't, again, confess it, receive forgiveness, walk, keep walking, but don't just skip over it like it's no big deal. It is a big deal. It's not a mistake. It's a sin against a holy God. Humble yourselves before the Lord. That sounds a little bit like submitting. And he will, what will he do? What is it? He will exalt you. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you. He put that right after, be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in this way and he'll exalt you. Man. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So Hebrews 11, you all probably know this, is full of this long list of these amazing people who did amazing acts of faith following their God. And Hebrews chapter 12 says, there's another therefore, that's funny. I picked all the verses that have therefores in them. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. If you think of the large cloud of witnesses, I mean, you can pick one from Hebrews 11 if you want, but who's part of your cloud of witnesses? People that you've seen, you've read about, heard about? Just shout out some names that seem to do it well. Gotta have somebody. Huh? Joseph, good. Didn't meet him personally, but it seems like he was a good guy. Yeah? Yeah? Job? Who else? Say again. Anybody you actually know? Any men that you actually know? Jeremy, good job, yes. Who else? Who do you know? What books have you read? What authors have you read? What? Who's part of your cloud of witnesses?
John Owen.
Say it again.
John Owen.
John Owen. Who else? Give me some more names.
Oswald Chambers.
Oswald Chambers. More names.
John Piper.
John Piper.
Pat Workman.
Pat Workman. If you don't know Pat Workman because you don't go to Grace Point, come visit us sometime. We'll introduce you. Who else? Your grandfather.
My dad.
Your dad. Who's part of your cloud of witnesses? Keep going.
John Mark Comer.
Who else?
C.S. Lewis.
C.S. Lewis.
Frank Farrison.
Frank Farrison. Amen.
Dallas Willard.
Thank you. That's great. Good. You get the idea. By the way, if you struggle to come up with people, this has nothing to do with the talk, by the way. I know people. A lot of people aren't readers these days, but ask around. You'll get some good suggestions on books you can read that will just have remarkable things in them by imperfect men and women who are trying their best to follow the Lord. I lost my train of thought. Wait a minute, it's going to come back. Lay aside every hindrance. What are some of the hindrances that get in your way? What are they?
Busyness.
Cell phones, that's come up several times. What else?
Sports.
Other people. Yeah. What else?
Sleep.
By the way, just because I have the mic and you don't, let me say, if you're young in the room, and I'm not sure what young means, I know it doesn't mean 58. If you're 40 and under, don't wait to lay aside your hindrances. Don't get to it later. Please don't get to it later. Your kids, once they're grown, it's not too late, but it sure is harder. Don't get to it later. If there's something in the way between you and walking with your Lord, get rid of it. You got to get rid of it. Just throw it away. Sins that so easily entangle us, ensnares us. get a picture of a wandering through a wading through a pond and having all those vines wrap around your feet, and your feet get stuck in the muck and you just can't get moving. You got to get rid of that stuff. And then it says run. Run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on whom? On Jesus. How do you guys, like, give us all some ideas. How do you keep your eyes on Jesus? How do you do that?
Music I listen to.
Music?
Being still.
Being still? What was in the back?
Daily worship.
In the Word.
Be with those who are looking to Him.
Be with other people who are with Him, yeah.
Fasting.
Pray. Say again.
Praying.
None of those were new to any of you, right? You've all heard those before. Do them. Do them. They're more important than those other things that the other list I ask you, all that stuff. I think maybe Patrick maybe said we spend a lot of time on things that a million years from now, who really cares? Spend some time on the right things. It's a good idea. Know His Word and live His Word. So I became a Christian, I think. I don't know exactly how this works in the supernatural world, but in my mind, I became a Christian as a freshman at Ohio State. I went to a concert. The lead singer dude had a gospel presentation at, not halftime, what do you call that? Intermission. And I grew up in church, never heard the gospel before, and I'm like, well, that's great. That makes great sense. I'm in. Why would I not say yes to that? At some point, I got a Bible from somebody, I don't know who, and I started reading it, and I found out that what it says the Christian life is supposed to look like looked nothing like the life I was living. Nothing. And so some big changes happened really quickly. A lot of other changes happened over years, some of them decades. But you can't live His Word if you don't know His Word. You just can't do it. You might accidentally stumble over something. So know His Word, know what it says. Decide ahead of time that whatever it says to do, you're going to do it. Don't wait and make up your mind after you find it, and you'll figure out a way out of it. Just decide before you even open it up today, whatever you show me, Lord, I'm going to do it. Now, you won't all the time. You're going to fall. Great, get back up. Start over again. Here's a challenge I have for you. This is pretty hard, by the way, but try it. What if we spent at least as much time in God's Word as we do in all other media combined? Think about how much time you spend on whatever your media of choice is. What if you spent not even more time, just that much time in God's Word? And you might be thinking, I don't have time to do all that. Or you're right, you don't. So give up one of them. Don't give up time in His Word. And again, I know not everybody's a reader. I don't know what to say about that other than find a translation that you can read well. You can listen to it. You can do both at the same time. You can sing it. You can get with other guys who are getting in the Word. Your churches, I'm sure, all have Bible studies, men's groups. Join them. Go every time they meet and get in the Word and pray the Word with each other. Spend at least as much time in God's Word as you do in all other media combined. By the way, I don't do that. I don't do that. At the end of the day, I'm tired. And a tired person, it's easy to just sit on the couch and turn on whatever the next Netflix episode of whatever and just veg for, I mean, how fast does 2 hours go, right? Goes pretty fast. But boy, I think the men of our churches would change our churches dramatically if we spent as much time in God's Word as we did on the rest of the media that we consume. It'd be dramatic. Take a hand and extend a hand. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. It's been in my mind and my heart a lot for the last couple years. We exhort you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone. The version I have in my head says, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Some people, some of you, some of me, there's only one of me, but you get the idea, they just need warned, they need admonished because they're lazy. Get up off your seat and go walk. Some people need that. Other guys need comforted because they're just so discouraged. Life has been so incredibly hard that they don't even know if they can get up and walk. They just need someone to encourage them. You can do this. You can do this. And there's others that just literally can't do it. And they need someone to help them do it. Be the guy that stops and sits down and listens and then says, okay, let me help you up. Let's go walk down the road together. I got this. I'll be with you. And for everybody, all those people and lots of other variations, just be patient with one another. You all know we're trying. We're trying. So be that guy that will warn, comfort, or help, but also receive that from guys. I've got one friend in my life that knows everything there is to know about me, and he's done these three things with me routinely over the last decade, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful, and I've done the same for him. Think about who can do this for you. Who could be that guy that could get in your face when you need it, that can encourage you when you're discouraged, who can help you walk when you can't, you don't have enough strength on your own? You need to figure that one out, and I would say it's pretty high up on the importance list. Find a guy. And the best way to find that guy is probably to be that guy. And you'll probably pick the wrong guy. That's okay. Find another one. Just because it doesn't work one time doesn't mean it doesn't work ever. Walk in grace, be transformed, submit to God, resist the devil, draw near to God, clean your hands, purify your hearts, mourn and weep. Let God exalt you through great humility before him. Follow godly examples. Get rid of whatever is in your way. Just don't stop playing around with it and just get rid of it. Fun story. We went to the Grand Canyon when the kids were littler. I don't know how old they were. And my memory is, this could be incorrect. My memory is there were some, I think, high school girls at the edge of the Grand Canyon doing handstands. I mean, that's kind of dumb. Don't do handstands at the end of the Grand Canyon. Get rid of the stuff. Don't see how close you can get to sin without crossing the line. See how far away from it you can get. Know his word, live his word, take a hand, extend a hand. We're going to fall down, guys. It's just part of life. It's part of being a human. Certainly it's part of being a man. And I think one of the hard things about being a man is we don't like to admit that we've fallen. We're supposed to be the ones leading. We hear talks like Greg's and think, man, I'm just bad at all that stuff. How many times have I blown it? Great. Get back up and start walking again. Let the Lord help you. Let me pray, and then we're going to have some table discussions. Lord, I joked about it, but I think it's partly true. You asked me to do this because I'm really good at falling. I'm grateful that you have also helped me get back up a lot. I don't know how many times I've had to get back up. And I suspect that's true for many of the guys in the room. There may be guys here today who fell yesterday, last week, a year ago, 10 years ago, and they're just kind of, they don't know what to do. Would you give them the grace to stand up, to take your hand, to take the hand of another man who loves them enough to offer it, and to just start walking again, even if it's just a shuffle. Lord, I pray for our roles, for those of us here who are husbands. When we don't love our wife the way you love your church, which is probably pretty frequently, would you help us to keep a short account and go tell her that we did that and ask her to forgive us? Would you give us the courage to do that? When we just make our kids angry because we're angry or we're tired or whatever, would you help us to go to our kids and say, I'm so sorry I treated you that way? Would you help us to be the member of our family that says, as Greg said, we're the ones that say, let's go to church. We're going to church. Don't let our wives make that decision. Lord, would you help us to serve at church, to lead by example so that our families can see that this is what we do. This is what we do. Don't let us turn into the kind of guys who let other people lead where we're supposed to be leading. And would you give us mercy and grace and forgiveness when we fall on our face to get back up and to keep walking. In Jesus' name, amen.